the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about, and we're very happy to be with you. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And we deal with the issues of the day the way we deal with the issues of the day. This is not particularly a political show. I do have points of view, but they're not going to fall down. I'm sure you've heard other talk show hosts say that, you know, Bud?
Yeah, there's always a talk show host that go, not like any other talk show you ever heard.
Yeah, most of the guys that say they're not like any other talk show you've ever heard, they're all conservatives. So,
that's true.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about, you know, if ever you hear a guy say, this is a different kind of show, they're conservatives. If you hear someone say that it's not a different kind of show, it's like every other show you've ever heard in your life, they're conservatives. If you've heard people say that occasionally they like to give an opinion, but most of the time they're just there to have fun, they're conservatives. If you hear a show...
All right, you get it.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I don't want the mammogram story. I want the story. This is a story that is, as I was saying during our pre-show, that breaks all records. Maybe it doesn't break all records, but it certainly is tying a lot of records for just low-life behavior. A woman that kept other people prisoner in the cellar of her home in Philadelphia. I think this woman has, if I'm not mistaken, I think she's been arrested and has been charged with any number of different crimes. Where is that story, Bud? We're going to have Margaret Gray on the line with us in a moment. We're going to talk about that as it pertains to the economy. Here it is. Woman who held four in Philadelphia cellar may have victimized dozens, according to police. The woman charged with keeping four adults with mental disabilities locked in a squalid Tacony basement. I guess this is a part of Philadelphia. And I don't really have to get it right because we're not on in Philadelphia. So, you know, that's one of the pluses of not being on in Philadelphia. We can just butcher the names of their neighborhoods. Not that I want to do that, but what the hell difference does it make, right? Okay.
The people listen who come from Philadelphia.
Then I apologize to those people. I'm doing the best I can. With a squalid Tacony basement while collecting their Social Security checks may have victimized dozens of others, police said on Monday. When Linda Ann Weston was arrested on Sunday, she had identification records for as many as 50 people in her possession, including power of attorney paperwork, forms of identification, and Social Security numbers, according to Police Lieutenant Ray Evers. The documents suggest Weston has been running a wide-ranging fraud operation. He said, and I'm quoting, she might have been doing this for years, probably since she got out of prison. Margaret, you're familiar with this story and other stories like this, this reminds me an awful lot of that guy in Vienna. It reminds me an awful lot of that Garrido, although this does seem to be more economically driven.
Well, Phil, and that is the bottom line on this. It is economically driven. It is an economic crime in many ways, and I think we need to focus on that. We have to take a look at a much bigger picture when you see a woman who is living in Philadelphia, most likely a woman who is single, most likely a woman who is a single mother. I don't know, but the statistics will prove that, I'm sure, that she's a single mother. I'm sure that we will look deeper into this case, and we'll find out that she's not only a single mother, but that the husband or the father of those children is most likely still alive somewhere, and not paying his fair share for those children. So I think when we look into the case of this Weston, we're going to see a lot more than we bargained for. We're going to see a woman who has violated the law in a very extreme way. Given the times that we live in, given the kinds of people that we are seeing now, Phil, more than ever before, we are seeing very aberrant and very extreme crimes. But we are also seeing... We're seeing crimes that have been committed out of necessity, I think. And in the case of this woman, Linda Ann Weston, that, I think, when all the facts are in, is what we're going to be looking at.
Well, you're saying we're going to be looking at a woman who has committed these crimes out of necessity?
No, I'm not saying out of necessity so much as out of the tragedy of her life and the tragedy of the... modern life in America right now. let's look at our country as it exists today in the year 2011. I've heard people say it, and I'm sure you've heard it as well. Our country has never really been worse off. Yes, I know we had a Great Depression, but have we ever seen the kinds of despair that we see today? Have we ever seen the kinds of a despondency, the kind of the lack of community that we have today in this country? Have we ever seen this before? I don't think we have. When Linda Ann Weston began to keep these people as prisoners, I am sure that it's very likely she was a normal woman who was at her wit's end as to how to survive. And we've all found ourselves there, Phil.
Well, not to interrupt you, but that's exactly the point. We have all found ourselves there. And we haven't all begun to, keep prisoners.
But Phil, hold on for a minute because I know what you're going to say. And I appreciate your opinion, but a lot of what you're going to say is predictable. A lot of what other people would say is very predictable. I'm looking at this differently. I'm looking at this from the eyes of someone who has lived in this country, saw Barack Obama become President of the United States during a year that the worst possible economy, perhaps in history, befell this country. And all of a sudden, we had a situation that none of us had ever expected. How are we going to make a living? How are we going to live? Linda Ann Weston, I'm sure, like a lot of us, was a normal woman making ends meet, having a career, having children, and enjoying her life. Suddenly, as the result of 8 years of George Bush's policies, this is a woman that is forced into doing things she never in her life dreamt. She never in her life ever dreamt possible. She never in her life, I'm sure, Phil, dreamt that she would have to keep people as prisoners, if you can imagine this.
Margaret, I've got to interrupt you because I'm hearing you say some things. You're saying that as the result of George Bush's policies. Now, here is a very, you talked about predictability. Isn't that a predictable line of discussion?
What is?
To blame this woman's situation on George Bush.
No, I did not do that. I said, as the result of policies in the Bush administration, the economy went south, to coin a phrase. And when the economy went south, so did a lot of jobs and so did a lot of lives. And what is left? I'll tell you what is left. What is left is this woman and millions of others like her trying to make a living, trying to figure out how to make a living. How to exist, how to survive, and how to move on. And in her case, she was forced into this act of depravity, which was to keep people prisoner and to cash their Social Security checks. If you were to interview this woman right now...
You're saying that she was forced...
If you were to interview this woman right now, I'm sure she would tell you that she never anticipated in a million years having to do something like this.
Margaret, she has kept people prisoner, though, has been cashing their checks.
I understand that. You're not telling me anything I don't know. I know that.
All right. You don't call that theft?
Yes, I do call it theft, but I don't blame her for it. It is a wholesale theft that has been committed by the society in general. And it's a very difficult, I understand it's a difficult concept to understand, Phil. And I will tell you this, Phil, of all the people that I know that you don't have a college education. I know that you did not get a degree from university. You're a very intelligent man. You're one of the most intelligent people I know, Phil, in fact, having never been to college. But there are some things that you really don't have an understanding of, and this is one of them.
Well, what am I not understanding? If this woman, Linda Ann Weston, took identifications and records and so forth from as many as 50 people in her possession, she took power of attorney paperwork, forms of identification, Social Security numbers, etc., and she was keeping, at the time that she was arrested, 4 adults with mental disabilities locked in the basement. What about that is not criminal?
I did not say it wasn't criminal.
But I'm hearing you... there's something about what you're saying here, and I don't think I'm alone in hearing this. There's something about you saying that is that it sounds like you're giving her a pass.
No, I'm not so much giving her a pass, Phil, as I'm saying to her, I'm looking at her as another woman. And this is what I mean. You are a very intelligent man, Phil, but you don't have a college education. And the other thing is, you are not a female. You don't know what it's like to be a woman in an economy like this. You just don't know what it's like to be an individual that has 4 or 5 children.
Do we know how many children she has?
I don't have the story in front of me, Frank. If you have it, I'm sure that when the news comes out, we're going to find out that she's got something like 4 or 5 children and a husband that isn't around. Most likely a live-in boyfriend who fathered these children, and now he's gone. So I'm looking at her as another woman, and I'm saying to her, I get it. I understand. And there are times, Phil, that this kind of thing...
All right, so you're telling me there are times that a woman needs to kidnap 4 people, lock them in her basement, and take their Social Security numbers.
I am not putting it like that.
Isn't that what she did?
I am saying there are times when a woman has to be proactive so she can survive, so her children can survive.
But can you not say that there are times when a woman... You're saying that this woman kidnapping people is okay.
I'm not saying that she did kidnap people.
Are you disputing the facts of this case?
Well, if you're asking me, am I disputing what the police said? No, I am not. But I will not use the word kidnap. I will not use that word. I am going to show a little more understanding of what this woman was up against.
All right, our number is, you know what? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What was this woman up against? She's charged with keeping 4 adults with mental disabilities locked in a basement while collecting their Social Security checks and their identification records and their Social Security numbers, etc. This woman held people captive and used their personal information to enrich herself. Is this woman, not these people she held captive, this woman, Ms. Weston, an object of our pity? 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to the world-famous... Phil Henry Show.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Woo! I like the way you blocked that out.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. We have Margaret Gray on the line with us. We're going to get back to her in just a moment. Margaret, hold the line. I just want to let everybody know that we're online in streaming video. Our Phil TV and HD video cast is online right now at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. By the way, forthcoming tonight, we will give you details on how you can win 1 free month. Of Phil. 1 free month of Phil. We'll give you the details coming up tonight, so you can win a free month of viewing and listening to our archives and enjoying everything about our website that we possibly will allow you to. No, it's you will. You'll have 1 free month of enjoying our website. We'll give you the details of that as we progress this evening. Margaret Gray, who is the author of A Little Bird Told Me, which is a nationally syndicated newspaper column. What do I got there, man? That sounds wicked. I think we just turned on iTunes. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I thought I heard the first guitar strums of...
Indigo Girls.
Yes, the Indigo Girls.
We had our iTunes. It's one of the things that we forget to turn off here. Is iTunes that we roll during our pre-show. Anyway, welcome back, Margaret.
Thank you. And Phil, again, I appreciate you having me on the program. I think it's very important that we are able to educate people to a few realities. I think it's very, very, I don't know how you put it, I think it's tabloidy to say, well, a woman kept people prisoner in her basement, and a woman was stealing their identification, and a woman was this and that.
All right, I mean, I can agree with you on all of that, but would you agree that a crime has been committed?
I'm not going to agree just yet that a crime has been committed, and I'll tell you why.
You don't think a crime has been committed. You don't think that when a woman holds people hostage in a basement, as this woman, Linda Ann Weston, did, that's not a crime?
I think you have to take it case by case, Phil. And I really do think we have to calm down when we look at these stories. First of all, this is a woman who most likely has a lot of children and some deadbeat man somewhere who has decided he's not going to pay for those children. Secondly, she is a woman, and that takes this to a different level. We are living, Phil, and I'm sorry.
Well, you're going to say now that there's two separate kinds of justice, one for men.
No, I'm not going to say there's two separate kinds of justice. I am going to say that we need to understand the reality of being a woman. And we have not done that, I don't think, in the history of jurisprudence. You know, it's a very interesting. We are just now beginning to recognize that some women, Phil, and God forgive me for saying this, but I really believe it, some women have every right in the world to shoot and kill their husbands for the abuse that they're put through.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
You would not disagree with that?
No, I would not disagree with that.
So you would agree that a woman has every right in the world to shoot and kill a man who is abusing her?
I think that if the authorities have not been able to stop this, if the restraining orders haven't stopped it, if the shelter for abused women can't protect them, and most of the time they can't, then I think you got to do what you got to do, without question.
All right, you got to do what you got to do. Let's keep that in mind. Because now I'm going to tell you about a woman who lives in Philadelphia who has no money, who is this close to going out on the street. And you know what that means. Going out onto the street and selling it like a whore. And the word is as ugly to me as it is to you, Phil. But it seems that that's what we want women to do. We like to see them go out and have to whore it up.
And why would you say that we like that? Why is that? Why?
Because this woman has no choice but to either whore it up or to keep these people captive, yes, and use their money. And
so she's got no choice. Either she's going to go out and be a whore, or she has to steal from people.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're both illegal. Now, who is she stealing from? Phil, she's stealing from people that are mentally disturbed. And may God forgive me for saying this. They are mentally disturbed people. They deserve all of our Christian charity. But they are, for all intents and purposes, non-people. And by that I don't mean that they don't have people that love them, and they don't have names, and they don't have lives. But they're non-people from the standpoint of what are they, what good are they going to do anyone in terms of the greater good of society? So,
you know, that sounds very heartless. And
well, Phil, you know, you can have the Padre punch your ticket on the way out. You know what I mean?
This is not me trying to have the Padre punch my ticket. I'm telling you, it sounds very heartless, okay?
Does it sound heartless to send a woman out onto the streets so she can stick it out there into someone's face and whore it up? And I'm sorry to have to put it that way, Phil, but that's what you're forcing me into. Is it charitable for us to force a woman out onto the streets so she can lift her skirt up above her waist, stick it out in traffic, and say, here, want to buy it? I think it is absolutely the lowest society possible to ask a woman to do that. So what did she do instead? She took the Social Security money of individuals that are mentally retarded. What are they going to spend it on? Except ridiculous. I don't know what the mentally retarded are going to spend their money on.
Well, the money is spent by people that are caretaking them, that can help them.
Well, this woman can do that, Phil. And she can do a lot more. She can spend that money on those mentally retarded people, and she can buy things that people use. She's not going to go out and spend it the way someone who has those problems will spend it.
How is someone who has those, the money that the mentally disturbed or mentally retarded or whatever you want to call it, emotionally disturbed, mental disabilities, the money, the things that those people buy is what they buy after the money has been used by others who are their caretakers to take care of them.
If you want to give that money to people with mental disabilities and have them and go out and buy a Pez dispenser and a bicycle pump, and you, Phil, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't.
They buy ridiculous things. You give that money to a woman who has her mental faculties, and she'll buy things that benefit this society and herself and her five children that have been abandoned. Think about it, Phil.
All right, Margaret Gray, I'm thinking, and we'll be back. Margaret Gray on the line with us. This woman that held four people captive in a Philadelphia basement, maybe she had the right because she needed that money and would spend it on better things than these people. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
My God, think about it, Phil.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And for those of you who are watching on Phil TV in HD, right behind me is a blow-up of our one of our best-of CDs. And if you are not watching on HD, Phil TV in HD, we still have best-of CDs for sale on our website, and you don't have to have a backstage pass to buy one, man. You can just go into our shop and buy whatever you want there. While you're there, you can buy a backstage pass if you like, but you don't have to. And as I mentioned later on in the show, we're going to most likely later on the show describe or give you the lowdown on how you can get a free month of the Phil Hendry website, a free month coming up on our program tonight. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line briefly here with us this evening is Margaret Gray, and we've been talking with her about a terrible situation in Philadelphia, in my opinion, where a woman was arrested keeping four people as captives in the basement of her house, and these four people with mental disabilities had their Social Security checks taken from them, their IDs taken from them, all kinds of things taken from them so that this woman could cash in on these people being held captive. And Margaret, you are on my program here tonight. You are, apologizing for this woman.
Let me jump in and help you out because I can hear you. I can hear you stammering through this.
No, I'm not stammering. I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm just trying to find the first word out of my mouth, which is you're an apologist for a woman who's breaking the law. And you're using her gender because she's a woman to excuse it.
No, Phil, I don't believe I came on your program tonight and said because she's a woman and began some kind of ridiculous pity party for this lady. I'm looking at the facts straight on, and I'm asking myself, yes, these people have disabilities. Yes, these people have problems, but so does she. Look at the economy that we're living in. Look at the mess that Wall Street, yes, has made of our economy. You want to know why people are putting on demonstrations like Occupy Wall Street? Because there are people that are suffering, Phil. And one of those people that's suffering is this Lucy Weston Linda Ann Weston is her name. And
her name is Linda Ann Weston, yes.
Yes. A woman who, in my opinion, probably has five or six kids.
You're saying, in my opinion, do we know how many children this woman has?
I don't think there's any doubt that she has five or six kids.
Do we know for a fact, Bud? Is there anything in the story?
I didn't see anything.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. If he hasn't seen anything, I don't know what you mean.
All right, well, if you're saying she has five or six kids, it sounds to me like you're sort of padding the evidence of this, or padding the biography of this woman. The other thing you said...
I'm not padding anything, all right, honey, and I could make a joke here. Let me just say, Margaret Gray has never had to pad anything to make a joke. But let me be serious for a moment, all right?
Let's be serious. This woman was keeping hostages, and we've heard stories like this.
Before the break, I said people with mental disabilities are people that have money coming to them, and what are they doing with it? What are they doing with the money that comes to them? You know that I've had, and Frank, if Bobby, bring Bobby in for a moment. You know that I've had Bobby, who was that young man that Vernon Dozier introduced us to.
And that was the kid that they were going to work with the TSA?
Well, it was before the TSA. Bobby was the young man. Here he is. Here. All right, hold on. Bobby has a mental disability. He is 37 years of age. Now, you go ahead, Phil, and you ask Bobby, what's he going to do with all of his money that he gets from the government?
Well, who is getting his money?
He's got a caretaker, Phil.
No, we're not keeping him here. He's visiting Frank. He's looking at some of the legal papers that Frank has. He likes to talk to Frank about television.
All right, so, but who is getting his money?
He has a guardian, I believe, right? He has an uncle. But I wanted you to talk to this young man, and you tell me whether he knows what to do with the monies that he gets every month from the trust fund, from the government. And don't you think a woman like this woman Weston would know much, much better how to spend that money?
No, I do not think. I don't even have to talk to Bobby. I do not think that Bobby, hold on, Bobby. I do not think that that she would know better. I think that people that love this young man, people that care about his life and care about where his life is going and how to take care of him, they would know better.
Well, all right, Phil, that sounds very, very pretty. But what if there isn't anyone that... Hold on just a minute. Bobby, come here for a minute.
Hi.
Hi, Bobby. Phil, what I'm going to say is going to be a little shocking, but we've had to teach him that. What are these, Bobby? I'm asking Bobby, what are my breasts? What are these?
Your breasts?
Are you allowed to touch them?
No.
All right. And what happens if you touch them?
I get the fork.
You get the fork. And
what is the fork?
Hold on for a minute, Phil. I just want to... What is this?
That's your private.
And
Margaret, I think I get the idea. Is this what you're teaching this young man?
I beg your pardon?
What is everything that you're teaching this young man have to do with not touching a woman and her private?
How dare you? I said, what are these? And he said, breasts. That's not my private. This is, right, Bobby?
Yeah.
All right, and what's this?
That.
Hold on for a minute. You know something? I'm really getting angry.
In what way are you getting angry?
What is she saying?
He says he's getting... What are you getting angry at?
I don't like the way you're talking to that kid and what you're teaching him.
He's 38, for God's sake.
All right, he's 38. He has the mind of a child. Okay? And you, what is the fork, by the way?
What is the fork? The fork is aversion therapy that we have in association with Dr. Suffolk, that Herb Sewell had put us in contact with. And
Dr. Suffolk, that Herb Sewell put you in contact with. You mean a guy that worked up at the Atascadero?
Would you stop yelling at me, please?
The guy that worked up at Atascadero?
Yes. Phil, hold on.
That to me is just outrageous. Just outrageous.
Oh, give it a rest. Phil, hold on. Bobby, if you touched that, what would happen?
I get the fork.
Go ahead and touch it.
No.
Go ahead.
Don't tell him to touch it because I know what you're going to do.
Well, how else do I give him the fork unless he touches it?
I'm not going to want you to give him the fork. Why would you give him? And what is the fork?
The fork is simply put a fork in a wall socket.
Yeah, then he grabs the other end of it. Don't grab this, Bobby. Grab the other end of it. Like this, see? What would you do, Bobby, what would you do if you grabbed the other end of this? All right. See what I'm saying? Right there. Yeah. There, see?
What did you just do?
Well, what did it sound like? Three guesses.
Yeah, the first two don't count.
What did they do to you, Bobby?
I got the fork.
So here's what we got. You and your husband and Bobby, you are advocating on behalf of this Weston.
No, you're making a very big dramatic scene out of nothing. We brought this boy into our home to teach him things about the normal way that people live, Phil. And we brought him into our home to teach him things about Frank's business. And I told him that if you touch this, you get the fork.
Yay!
And Bobby knows that. And
so for our edification and your personal kicks, you're giving him the fork.
No, that's a tape recording. I had no reason to give him a fork.
You had no reason to give him... What do you mean a tape recording?
We taped the different fork sessions we've given him. He didn't do anything wrong tonight, did you, Bobby?
No, I didn't do nothing wrong.
All right. So I pretended like I gave him the fork. Woo-hoo! That was a tape. When's that from?
That was May.
Yeah, that was last May.
So, all right, thanks very much for your education here. 877-876-PHIL. God, I feel like I'm in some kind of a weird, I don't know what, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like being Alice in, you know, Alice in Lullaby Land or something.
Yeah, Alice in Birdland. Alice in Birdland?
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that's it. Well, whatever it is, yeah, it's like through the looking glass, man, we go, which is what we promise people will do anyway. Margaret Gray, we're talking about this woman, Linda Ann Weston, in Philadelphia. This woman was found with four people in a cellar, and she wasn't found with them. She was keeping them captive. She was cashing their Social Security checks. She was using their personal identification for her own nefarious aims. And I'm listening to at least one person here tonight, Ms. Gray, saying that as a woman, she has no choice, otherwise she's sticking it out into traffic and saying, do you want to buy it? God.
Yeah, I don't understand what you mean by that.
Well, three guesses, as they say, and the first two don't count. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Do you think women have it so bad in our society that if they steal, if they use other people's identities, if they use other people's checks, they can be forgiven because life has always been tough for women? Because that's what you're saying, Margaret, and, you know, it seems like a real apologist thing.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, all right. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're wrapping up here with Margaret Gray. We also have Frank Gray on the line. I don't, even if you're playing recordings of putting that boy through that kind of as you call it, aversion therapy, Ms. Gray, I think that is really, really low.
Have you ever taken care of...
Margaret.
No, hold on for a minute there, Mr. Henry. Because you have accused me of some very, very, I think, some base and violent and cruel things. Have you ever taken care of someone with a mental disability? Yes or no?
What I know it...
Have you ever taken care of?
What'd she say?
She hasn't... He hasn't answered yet.
I haven't. No, I have not.
No, you have not. No, you have not. When you bring someone into your home with a mental disability, Phil, as Frank and I brought Bobby into our home, these many years ago, he doesn't live here. He lives with his uncle. They have a very beautiful home out in South Pasadena. But Bobby, we brought into our home because we wanted to know him. We got to know him through your show. Bobby gets disability checks. Bobby gets checks from the Social Security Administration. Bobby gets all kinds of checks, okay? Do you give him the money and let him go out and buy volleyballs and then cardboard boxes? And, you know, I gave him, I don't know if you know this, Frank, I gave Bobby $30.
Yes, you do. If that's what he wants to spend his money on, yes.
I gave that boy 30, and I say boy, he's 37 years old. I gave him $30 one day. He came back with a Pez dispenser, two T-shirts that didn't fit him, and he bought, put up money down, or he bought a brochure for a timeshare in Hawaii. Are you listening to me?
And all right, so...
What the timeshare? That's the stupidest thing I've ever...
But it doesn't get dumber than that, Phil. A timeshare and...
He got a brochure, you said.
He came back with... He purchased a seminar on how to get a timeshare in Hawaii, a Pez dispenser, an inner tube, and a T-shirt that was too small for him that said, I saw Carlsbad Caverns.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing.
Can you imagine someone that stupid?
The boy has, as you say, the young man, has mental disabilities.
Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make.
That doesn't mean you take his money from him just because he's not buying what you think he ought to buy. Most of that money goes to his guardian. Most of that money goes to his well-being, his upkeep, his clothing, his food, the roof over his head, whatever. So he gets some discretionary money. So you know what? Just because he goes out and he buys things that you don't think he should, what do you spend your spare money on?
Are you kidding? Are you trying to insult me? I don't go out and buy. I don't go out and buy that. You know that candy dust, whatever that stuff is, Frank. What is that?
Yeah, that fizzy stuff.
That fizzy stuff, so your tongue turns green. I don't go out and do that. He buys that every day. A 37-year-old man comes back here with a green tongue, and then he goes out.
So he goes and he buys candy. I'd buy candy too.
Yeah, you'd buy candy too if you had an IQ of 41.
Yeah, that's worth saying.
You know, Frank, Margaret, I can understand. You, I'm shocked that you can't...
What do you mean you're shocked? She came over to the house, and...
And what do you mean she? Why don't you get him fixed, will you?
He has gender confusion.
I know he's got gender confusion. Every time he calls the show, every guy is a she and every she is a he.
What's she talking about?
Go ahead, Frank.
No. Hey, Frank. Frank.
Yeah, that's my name. Don't wear it out.
Oh, okay. Hey, Frank, do you know that when you refer to a woman, you call her a he?
I don't understand.
Well, you're going to understand. That gonorrhea that you claim you got, man, that went into your brain?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's rotted your brain out so much you don't know how to say genders properly.
God, you sound like a tard. You're really embarrassing yourself.
And watch that tard stuff, too, if you don't mind. Do you know that, Frank?
Who called who a tard?
Don't worry about that. Do you know that when you talk about Bobby, you call Bobby a her, it's a he?
I'm talking about Bobby, yes. That's the young man that comes to visit us.
Yeah.
What about her?
That's what I mean, you idiot. Her.
I don't know.
Bill, it's impossible for him to understand what you're saying. He thinks what he's saying is normal. You see, I told you. Bill, you don't mess with the big dog. I'm the big dog, okay? You can't eat where I eat. You can stand where I, you know what, but you can't eat where I eat.
And, oh, okay, big dog.
Yeah, and here's one more thing the big dog's got to say. Okay? Don't stand under the big dog's you know what when the big dog's ready to let one go. Because, well, I forget what I was going to say, but the point is...
Yeah, thanks a lot. You make me feel mighty real, man. Tell you what. Margaret Gray and...
Are you all done with him?
I'm all done with him, yeah. I'm not going to listen to her bull crap. You know what she's doing now? Is she's just making stuff up.
Yo, she's going to call back.
Well, that's another thing, you guys. Just because somebody calls back doesn't mean you have to put them back on the air. Do you understand that?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you hung up on her.
Doesn't make any difference if I hung up on her. It doesn't make any difference at all if I hung up on her. You understand that, Robert? Doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Okay. So if I hang up on them and they call back and they go, oh, Phil hung up on me, I want to get back on the air. That doesn't mean that you have to put them back on the air. Do you understand that, Robert?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, Bud, do you?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It means if they call up, then I didn't have to put it back on the air.
If they call back...
If they call back, I don't have to put them back on the air.
That's right. If they call back, you don't have to put them back on the air.
Another thing, Phil, I would...
What are they doing back on the air?
They called back before you said what you said about not putting them on the air when they call back.
I don't like being hung up on, Phil. I've never liked being hung up on. I have never liked it. I called up, Phil, because I wanted to sing a song for you. Because this is how you make me feel. And if you were any kind of a man, you'd be singing this song, too. I remember this one, Phil, from the pre-show?
Oh, yeah.
Red roses for a blue lady. Mr. Flores, please take my order soon. La-da. You see what I mean?
Yeah, well, Margaret, none of your singing is going to get you off the hook on the way that you've been talking about these poor disabled people. The way you talked about that poor disabled Bobby. And as long as you brought it up, ladies and gentlemen, Margaret thinks that the lyric is Mr. Flores. It's Mr. Florist.
No, it is not. God, you're stupid. It's Mr. Flores. The song, Phil, was a groundbreaker for Hispanics in popular music. I want some red roses for a blue lady, Mr. Flores. You don't know that lyric.
No, I don't know that lyric because it doesn't exist.
It does. Mr. Flores, take my... I want a red rose for a blue lady. Mr. Flores, or Mr. I guess Mr. Flores was working that day.
No, Frank, it's got nothing to do with who was working that day. God almighty. You know, Phil's right. You really need some more penicillin. I'm talking about the song...
I know what you're talking about, and you're wrong. It's Mr. Flores, not Mr. Flores.
Well, the fact of the matter is, I like to give it a little bit of a color, and if you were any kind of a man, Phil, you would send me a bright bouquet of red roses for a blue lady. Mr. Forrest, take my order, please. Oh, God, it shorted the phone out. I've never had that happen before, Phil. That my voice was so screeching and unbearable, I got sparks from the phone. Isn't that fascinating? Oh, my God.
All right. Well, Margaret, thank you for joining us. Thank you for calling back. I didn't want to put you back on the air, but I guess you are back on the air, and you were able to get your point out about Mr. Flores.
That's exactly right. It's not Mr. Flores, it's Mr. Flores, but I guess you don't care about Hispanics.
That's right. Not so much that I'm going to make stuff up, Mr. Flores. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show comes back next hour. We are going to have a very special guest with us, a guy by the name of Ken Gawa. And Mr. Gawa will be talking with us about Facebook, Twitter, and other social media sites. Should we expect privacy anywhere in our lives these days? We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Mr. Flo.